and welcome to Myth Monsters. My name is Erin and I'll be your host for these little snack bite-sized podcasts on folklore and mythical monsters from around the world. These podcasts focus on the actual cryptids, folklore and mythic monsters from global mythology, rather than focusing on the full stories of heroes and their big adventures. I'll also be dropping in some references that they have to recent culture and where you can see these represented in modern day content so that you can learn more and get as obsessed as I am about these absolute legends of the mythological world. It is freezing here in the UK at the moment, so I hope wherever you are keeping warm and cosy and consuming an inordinate amount of hot chocolate. This week's monster might be able to help with heating that, although I'm not entirely sure you'd want to snuggle up to it. We are heading over to Native America this week to look at the terrifying mythical bird, the piaça. The piaça bird is described as a large dragon-like creature that was around the same size as a horse, with golden scales, a human face, flaming nostrils and sharp protruding fangs. It has two white deer horns sticking out of its noggin, alongside massive bat-like wings, but is held up by two stubby little legs with clawed feet. Its wings are apparently so massive that they can break trees with the pushing of the air through them, and it has a large mace tail that is long enough to wrap around its body at least three times. There's actually a really good description that was written by an explorer, who I'll get more into later himself, but the script goes as follows. As large as a calf, they have horns on their heads like those of deer, a horrible look, red eyes, a beard like a tiger's, a face somewhat like a man's, a body covered in scales, and so long a tail that winds around the body, passing above the head and going right back between the legs, ending in a fish's tail. Red, green, and black are the three colours composing the picture. In terms of powers, this monster is pretty scary. It has the ability to breathe flame onto its victims, as well as having a terrifying scream that could shake the earth. Of course, because of its wings, it also has the power of flight and does move immensely fast through the sky, but not so much on the ground due to the tiny stubby legs. The piaça bird is well known to eat people, as well as livestock such as cows and bison, and would snatch them up from tribes living along the riverside by its claws. It was actually known for being completely silent and deadly. However, if you heard the screech, it was already far too late. Can you take it down though? Yes, but it is significantly difficult. The only known weakness of the piaça bird is the soft part under its armpit, but of course getting hit off with an arrow was hard enough with its speed and dexterity, let alone waiting for it to lift its wing up. Also, I hate to say it, but if you took out one, another would just take its place. It was not a lone species of bird, but a whole species unto itself. So there were baby piaça birds kicking about too, but I will say we do not know how they reproduced. We assume it's very much like birds and potentially like dragons, which is with eggs where they crack out. Now, we haven't really talked about where this monster is from exactly, and we will get more into it in our history segment, but the piaça bird is from Illinois in the US. However, it is a Native American monster, dating back way before the Europeans settled. Specifically, it's from a place called Alton, which sits along the Mississippi River, and that of course runs through most of the middle of the US, including Illinois. The piaça bird generally stuck to the riverside near Alton, which of course is not what it was called. And historically, it's where the Illini lived, which were a collection of native tribes, about 12 to 13 of them. The monster itself lives within dingy waterside caves, littered with the bones of its victims. You are probably sitting there now, though, thinking, this doesn't sound like a bird, Erin. It kind of sounds like a dragon. So why do we call this the Piazza Bird rather than the Piazza Dragon? Well, that is all linked to its etymology. Piazza is a name for the stream that runs near the area, but in the Illini languages, this also means the bird that devours men. So it was pre-called a bird even from the get-go, so wasn't ever really called a dragon. Importantly with this though, I'm talking about dragons from a European perspective. We are thinking scales, teeth, wings, princesses and towers, which is very much what these creatures do also have, bar the princess. However, in native folklore, they were generally considered more avian than reptilian in general for dragons. But the terms were and are still used interchangeably. The history of this monster goes very far back though, without very much information on it. This is quite common with native myths, as they very rightfully are protective of their folklore, so it does not often end up in the minds of outsiders. However, we do know that this monster is believed to have existed since the last ice age, which started 115,000 years ago and ended 11,700 years ago. I can't even give you a date, it's that far in the past. It was first discovered by Europeans when they had a foothold in America in 1673, when a French missionary, Jacques Marquette, stumbled upon it. He was told by the local natives that he shouldn't go near the cliffside for fear of the monster, and instead, he found a mural, which gave us that really lovely description of the monster earlier in the episode, if you remember it. He described it as the way it was, and people generally thought it was a monster that was alive. However, he was just describing the mural that was left on the wall, and I'll talk more about the mural later on. But the monster was first referred to as the Piazza Bird by John Russell back in 1836, who told a story of the bird that is very often told as the origin of the monster. Of course, this is based within Alton, or what is Alton now. But it was that the chief of a tribe, and his name was Watoga, he generally led a pretty happy and peaceful tribe, until one day a Piazza Bird screeched into their lives. It took one of the warriors, but kept coming back for more, one after the other, day after day. The village was helpless, and the creature seemed invulnerable to any of their attacks. So the chief called out to the Great Spirit, who told him in a dream that the body of the Piazza is the weak spot, specifically under the wings. The tribe prepared for an attack, leaving the chief out on his own as the bird came over the horizon. It immediately darted for him, and he hung on to the roots on the ground whilst it tried to pull him up with its razor-sharp claws digging into him. Now, because the bird was still in flight and trying to pull the chief off of the roots, the soft armpits were exposed underneath, and the warriors then emerged from their hiding places in the bushes around him and shot poison arrows into the soft armpit of the bird. The Piazza Bird let go of the chief with a cry and flew straight into the Mississippi River, completely defeated, and the chief was then nursed back to health. The next day, the Piazza Bird was painted onto the limestone cliff face next to the river, and all natives would shoot it with an arrow as they passed, in honour of the bravery of Chief Watoga. It's also noted that the Piazza Bird lived in a cave in the mountain, and that there were thousands of human and cow bones littering the floor of the monster's home. But this story was, in fact, a lie, completely fabricated, but a really good one, and a believable one at that. In fact, modern historians and folklorists, as well as tour guides, of course, use this to explain the origin of the Piazza Bird, so we can certainly take it as gospel too. There have been no sightings of this monster since the late 1880s, and this bird is generally considered to be extinct. However, like its cousin, the Thunderbird, it represents the tumultuous relationship that we have with nature and how all living things would be respected. Most famously though, and you've heard me talk about the mural, and it might be where you know the Piazza Bird from. It's the infamous cliff painting in Alton from this story. We don't really know when this painting was done, but it was indeed very, very real. Unfortunately though, it was painted onto limestone, which, if you know anything about rocks, it's known to be very soft and very easily eroded, meaning that the original painting was lost in around the 1690s, and it was completely quarried down in 1870. However, this was painted back on in the 1990s, very far downriver, and measures about 50 foot wide by 20 foot tall, and is very often vandalised and then restored once again. It is a huge tourist attraction, and the pictures of it are just gorgeous. Now, for comparable monsters, we have to talk about the Thunderbird, as these two are very often put in the same category. Large dragon-like birds that dominate the local landscape, as well as being metaphors for natural respect to animals. I covered the Thunderbird not too long ago if you do want more information on it, but long and short of it is, it's also a native mythological bird that commands the power of the weather and is very hungry for humans. Another one that is very often compared is the underwater panther, which is another native beast. This one is slightly different though, as it is a feline monster, and it has scales and the body of a dragon, much more a serpentine figure, but it is considered the master water creature in a lot of native myths, and it's the closest native folklore monster to a European dragon in appearance. And of course, we will cover the underwater panther another time. I will then use its native name, but for the moment, it's too difficult to pronounce, so I'll leave it instead of butchering it. Now, on to modern media. There's nothing for this monster specifically, but we'll cover some feathered dragon content, although there are only a few bits within this as well. For art though, have a look at the mural. Research it if you're not there, have a Google. Bear in mind that this is the replication and not the original painting. But of course, if you're in Illinois, go and have a look in person and obviously send me the pictures. I believe it's just up from St. Louis. Otherwise, have a look at the independent art available this week. There are some really, really cool ones. In movies, we only have a few: Eragon, How to Train Your Dragon, and Maleficent. For TV, we have Lost Tapes, Wakfu, The Legend of Korra, Moon Dreamers, Digimon, Fairy Tale, Sword Art Online, Feathered Dragons, and Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. In video games, we have ones such as Pokemon, Fire Emblem, Lunar, Golden Treasure, The Legend of Zelda, Spyro Reignited Trilogy, Monster Hunter, Final Fantasy 9 and 14, Horn of the Abyss, Disgaea, Xenoblade Chronicles 10, Sword of Stars, Dragalia Lost, Flight Rising, Ark Survival Evolved, Secret of Mana, Battle Rite, World of Warcraft, and Dark Souls 3. My book recommendation this week is The Piazza, The Devil Amongst the Indians by P.A. Armstrong. It is a very old book and it is very short. It's only 54 pages, but I really recommend it because it's from 1887 and has real accounts of the mural being there. So I really recommend it if you're interested in this monster. Otherwise, have a look at Native American Myths by Rosalind Kirvan. She is one of my favourite folklorist authors. I really, really recommend anything she's written, but this one's a myriad of Native American myths. So if you're into the Native American space and into their folklore, please do go and give this a look as well. But now it's time for Do I Think They Existed? Now, with Native myths, I always think there's an air of mystique around them due to their secretive nature around their folklore, which makes me believe in it slightly more than I ever would anything else. What I think is crazy about this monster is that it goes all the way back to the last ice age. That is amazing, and probably one of the oldest monsters that we've ever covered. Although we don't have any actual accounts for it at that time, probably because humans were still in their infancy, but also because we would have either lost it or destroyed it by now. That's just how we are as a species. I do think it's plausible that dragons and giant birds could have once existed, because technically they did. Pterodactyls were in theory both of these things, and we know that these dinosaurs existed. But do I think they exist now? The piassa bird, not pterodactyls, by the way. No, probably not, because we've not seen one or even had a potential sighting in over 200 years, and if they were around, we'd probably know about it by now. But as always, I love covering native myths for this exact reason. It's not to say that they live now, but truly a lot of them might have. The mural that backs this up is a great way of recording history, and potentially how these animals looked. But alas, by the time we had means to record it, they were either extinct or very good at hiding. Either way, I don't think a dragon from the Mississippi is going to hunt you down for dinner anytime soon. Unless you ask it first, of course. Lastly, I'm not a geographical expert for the United States, but I do know that Illinois has Chicago in it, and I know that where Alton is, which is on the west edge of the state, Chicago is at the topmost east side of the state. I would not even risk flying around the Windy City State as a dragon. Think of all that navigational drama. Think of the high winds. Think of the traction under the wings. Absolutely not. That might be my number one. I don't think they existed, because we would have seen one by accident by now in a plane, let alone anything else. But what do you think? Did the piassa bird roam the skies of Illinois? Let me know on Twitter, I would love to know what you think about this one. Another great monster this week. I love looking into native myths, and this one is especially interesting due to the physical history behind it. I would love to cover more monsters with murals, and I hope we find another one soon. Next week though, we are heading over to East Africa to look at the ferocious Kenyan cryptid, the Nandi Bear. Hold on to your scalps before this beast comes for them next Thursday. For now though, thank you so much for listening. It's an absolute pleasure as always. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give it a rating on the service you are listening on. I've got the Twitter for any questions or suggestions on what monsters to cover next, and I'd really love to hear from you. The social media handles for TikTok, YouTube, Threads, and Instagram are Myth Monsters Podcast, and the Twitter is Myth Monsters Pod. All of our content can be found at mythmonsters.co.uk, and you can find us on Good Pods, Buy Me a Coffee, and Patreon if you want to help me fund the podcast too. This monster was actually a suggestion. I cannot find for the life of me who suggested it, but it was a recommendation, so I promise you they do get included if you send them to me. So if you do have a monster you want to hear about, let me know. In the meantime, come join the fun, share this with your pals. They might love me as much as you do. But for now, stay spooky, and I'll see you later, babes.